fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we continue to make our way through this season of Lent. It's a penitential season, a season where we, by God's grace, examine our lives in light of the gospel, in light of the commandments, in light of the Lord's teaching, not a season in which we look at ourselves and condemn ourselves, but we look at ourselves in the light of Christ, under the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, who's always there helping us be more conformed to the person of Jesus. And the church, the great mother, the great teacher, is leading us, shepherding us through this season so that we can really be honest before the Lord, understand where we are in relationship to his call in our lives, understand our fundamental identity in Christ, and how are we living? Are we living out of our identity? Do we know who we are? And are we listening and responding to the voice of God, or are we listening to the counterfeits that are coming at us constantly, the temptations to make a break from or to get off the path and go another way other than the one that the Lord has given us as his sons and daughters? I want to do today, and hopefully through most of this week, is meditate on dimensions of the temptation of Jesus in the desert. There's so much that can be said and taught there. Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel, I'll touch on both of those this week. What we see in the temptation in the desert is an attack by Jesus' mortal enemy, Satan, and his strategy is to knock Jesus off course, to really get him to see himself differently and to act differently than how God the Father sees him and how God the Father has called him to act, to really break him from his mission, to distract him from his mission. If you look at Matthew's gospel, the end of chapter 3, the section just before the story of the temptation in the desert is that great moment where Jesus goes to the Jordan and he's baptized by John, his cousin. And I want to read that, both Matthew's account and Luke's account. We see there where Jesus receives his identity. Chapter 2, verse 13 and following in Matthew. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." That is, to fulfill the Father's plan, essentially, that the Son too would be baptized. And he says, then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And behold, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Here you have a revelation, a theophany, a revelation of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there to anoint Jesus. And the Father speaks when he sends the Spirit. And he speaks, and what does he do? He lets everyone know, "Jesus is my beloved Son." At this point, Jesus hasn't really done anything in terms of his mission and ministry. He's lived a pretty quiet life, as far as we know. But as Father Cantalamessa says, this is not the point in Jesus' life where he receives the Holy Spirit. He's eternally the second person of the Trinity. But the Holy Spirit here is given to Jesus as Jesus now is about to begin his fundamental mission, which is profoundly tied, intimately tied to his identity and who he is. So it begins with the declaration of who is this Messiah. He's the Son of God. He's God's beloved Son. And so where does Jesus get his identity? From what he does? From what he's accomplished? From what he possesses? From what he has? No, Jesus receives his identity from the Father, the call of the Father, that the Father said, "This is my beloved Son." So here's the strength of Jesus' identity. His identity is he's the Son. He's the beloved Son. And the Father says, "In him I am well pleased." Luke's account is pretty much the same, a little bit of different twist on it. He says in verse 21, chapter 3 of Luke's gospel, "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form as a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.'" Friends, just before we go anywhere, that's exactly how God the Father looks at each one of us, each person who's been baptized into Christ. Christianity is fundamentally about our becoming one with Jesus. And because of his grace and power at work in us, because he's the faithful Son in whom all power and authority rests, he became one of us to identify with us. He died on the cross, shed his blood, so that the separation that exists between the Father and his creation could be dealt with and we could be united to him. So as John in his gospel says, that Christ gave us power to become children of God. Christianity is about God's offer, his gracious and merciful extension of his kingdom. And the kingdom means for us to live in the King, in his Son Jesus, and to share in everything that belongs to Jesus. So for those who are baptized into Christ, they're uniquely in a place. I mean, God loves his whole creation. God loves everything he created, and everything that he created is good. But humanity and creation, that good creation that God created by his command, has fallen because of sin, has fallen from glory. And Jesus has come to raise us to glory. And the glory means a participation in the life that belongs to God. And that participation doesn't happen just because of my good works. It doesn't happen automatically because I have a pulse. It doesn't come as a result of my influence and my power and my personality or my fame. It comes as a gift from God. No one can acquire divine glory. No one can pay for sonship. It's a gift of God. And all those who are baptized into Christ, it starts right here. Your mission starts right here, just like Jesus' mission, with a clear understanding of your identity. And note, it's not an identity that you create. It's not a reality or a truth or a world or an image that you create. What's valuable about you, what's precious about you, what's valuable and precious about me, despite my foibles and sins and weaknesses and inconsistencies, my life has meaning because God the Father calls me his Son. Jesus Christ has actually done something to make it possible for me to come into a relationship with God the Father that was completely impossible on my own strength. A gift from God. And so here's the foundation and all clear thinking of what it means to be a Christian and what really matters and what's most valuable. It's not about what we accomplish for God. It's not, again, about all our plans being fulfilled and the world recognizing our greatness. That's all passing. That doesn't matter. Because people will acknowledge your greatness one day, and then you may be the fashion. You may be on the top of the mountain one day, but it's not going to last. People will forget you just as fast as they received you the first time. What's permanent, what truly matters, where the gold is, what's actually most valuable, is this reality. And I'm belaboring the point because I think too many Christians get seduced by the world and the noise of the world, which drowns out the voice of God so easily today, that we get caught up in the anxiety and the frantic pursuit of identity that the world is engaged in every day. Got to get ahead, got to get ahead, got to get ahead. I'm not somebody until I have lots of money. Got to pursue money, right? I'm not somebody until I'm famous, right? So I'm pursuing the fame. Whatever it is, the natural gifts the Lord gives us to make a contribution to the world for the little moment of time we have in human history, the natural gifts the Lord gives us and really calls us to exercise to the max. But we're called to do them as sons and daughters of God. We're called to do it under his lordship and for him and for his glory, motivated by love of neighbor and coming from a place of security. I know who I am. And my identity does not come from what I do. My identity comes from the Father. See, if I create my own identity, friends, it's made up, right? It's make-believe. And it's very fragile because it's my creation. And if it's my creation, I didn't make myself. So how do I know deep, deep, deep in my soul, in the ground of my being, how do I really know who I am? Only the one who made you. You're an icon of God. You're the image of God. And so your identity is received from the one who designed you, who made you. You're God's idea. He put you here for a purpose. And your value comes from the fact that you were formed in the palm of the hand of a loving God. This is the last thing your enemy, just like Jesus' enemy, Satan, this is the last thing he wants you to think about. Because if you're rooted deeply in this identity, nothing can shake you. If you're living here, rooted in Christ, knowing who you are, and that the world simply can't take away who you are. No matter what happens, friends, no matter what big, hard, solid wall you run into in life, no matter what hardships come your way, no matter what failings come your way, what disappointments, no matter how many people hurt you or disappoint you, friends, look at the life of Jesus. Look at all of his friends. Look what happened. From the point of view of the world, he was a failed Messiah. He died naked, crucified on a cross. And everybody else, Pilate, Herod, everybody strutted off as if they somehow remained in charge and they're powerful. But look, it's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who's hanging on that cross. And he's reigning on that cross. He is the Lord hanging from that cross because he's in the will of the Father. He's the obedient Son. He's living out his identity. He's not in that fragile, futile, crazy world of making up my own identity and strutting through this world as if I'm something. It's nonsense. The only place of security, the only place of safety is in the hands of the Lord. It's in being what God has made you to be. And Satan and sin and original sin has stolen that identity and clouded our minds and weakened our wills. But Christ has come, the Son, our elder brother, to bring us back to the Father. And it begins in baptism and repentance and surrendering to him. It begins with receiving there the identity of being a son or a daughter of God. That's where it's at, friends. That's the gold, and that's his gift to you. Let's walk in it. God bless you. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Use Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.